This visualization can induce the vibrations and get you out of your body. Chapter 16, To Believe. The brain-fixing incident taught me an important lesson. When I was trying to prove my experiences were real, I had problems achieving my goals and I was usually disappointed. When I just let myself flow with the experience, I had fun and I felt good about the experience. Suddenly I realized that I didn't need to prove anything to anyone. There truly is a higher purpose to our experiences, whether in the body or out. All that matters is that we believe in the magic within us and trust that we will be guided to what is best for us. I never did make it to LD's house in a fully conscious out-of-body experience, but I had some close calls. For instance, on October 4, 1981, after a fully conscious out-of-body experience, number 51, had ended, I entered a semi-conscious dream state in which I was at LD's apartment. I took note of several details, including a pile of clothes I saw sitting on a bed. After I described the experience to her, she said it sounded actually quite like our apartment. Especially the part about the clothes. I had done wash and put them on the extra bed. Eventually LD changed jobs and I lost contact with her. Since I made the decision to go with the flow, I haven't been disappointed. My goal to make my presence known during an out-of-body experience also came with time and patience. In 1985, I had the following out-of-body experience during which my roommate, J.H., was aware of my presence. The 9th of July 1985 Saturday, out-of-body experience, number 116. J.H., my roommate, and I were discussing out-of-body experience last night until 2 a.m. after watching a horror movie on television. We both decided to try having OBs, and we agreed that if either had an out-of-body experience, he would try to contact the other in the out-of-body experience state. I first woke up at around 7:20 a.m., and I thought about trying to have an out-of-body experience. I was very tired, and fell asleep before I had a chance to try. I woke up next around 9:30 a.m. and I thought, I've almost wasted the whole morning, and haven't even tried to have an out-of-body experience. So I decided to try to have an out-of-body experience. I got into a straight position with my arms at my sides. I let myself approach sleep, but then I thought strongly, I want to have an out-of-body experience. So I started by visualizing a line of light, about 3 feet long, going straight up from between my eyes. I reached out with my consciousness to the end of the line, and pulled myself toward the end of the line. Then I created a rocking or swaying sensation by pulling and then pushing my consciousness along this line toward its end. Almost at once I felt the vibrations sweep over me, but they were very mild, almost unnoticeable. The vibrations faded away after a few seconds, and I was separate from my body. My eyes were open, and the first thing I tried to do was look down. I tried to turn my head down. But although I had the sensation of my head turning, my vision stayed where it was, staring at the upper corner of the bedroom. My mouth was very dry and stiff. My vision wouldn't move. I had a slight feeling of dizziness as I turned my head down. But my vision stayed the same, so I stopped. Then I noticed some sort of spirit form gliding from the direction of J.H.'s room, into my room, and I thought it was J.H. I thought, J.H. beat me here, good. Now I don't have to go into his room to get him. I wonder if he'll remember doing this. The spirit figure I saw glided up next to me, and came to rest to my left, near the bed. I turned my eyes to the left to look. I could not turn my head, but I couldn't make out the spirit figure too well. As I studied the ghostly figure, another spirit form glided in and joined the first. As I studied the two figures, their forms started fading in and out, so that parts of them were completely transparent, parts of them were visible but translucent, and parts of them were completely visible. I could see now that it was not J.H. One of the spirits was a man, and the other was a woman, and they grasped each other while they reclined on the bed, less than a foot away to my left. They didn't seem to notice me at all. I wondered if the images I saw were really spirits, or if they were thought forms, or just after images from a time when two such people occupied the same room years before. I was strangely calm and not alarmed at seeing the spirits. Since the spirits didn't seem to care about me, I turned my attention away and concentrated again on trying to get away from my body. I reached behind me, and tried to pry myself away from the physical body, but again I had the feeling of movement, although my sight remained the same. I tried to say some words, like I am projecting now, so I should be able to get away, but the words seemed to come out physically. And since my throat was very dry and stiff, the words came out slurred together, as if my whole mouth was deadened by Novocaine. I made a mental note to remember all this, and I let myself back down into my body. I looked around once more, and as I looked, many other spirits started fading in and out of my vision. I concentrated on seeing them, and as I looked, they became clearer in my vision, and soon it seemed as if the whole room was crowded with spirits of different kinds. Most of the spirits were between the ages of 30 and 50, and they were talking to each other in this crowded room. It reminded me of a dance or a wedding reception because there were many people, crowded together, talking to each other. I moved my eyes back and forth, to scan the different spirits in the room. As I moved my eyes, the spirits seemed to move too, and it caused a strange effect. I was curious why, but it didn't bother me. I studied some of the spirits in the room, and I remember what some of them looked like: a man about 35 years old, wearing 50s-style formal clothes, with some scratches and bruises on his face. He was talking to a woman, dressed also in a 50s-style formal dress. None of these spirits seemed to notice me either, so I decided to ignore them and try to get away from the body again, to contact J.H. I lay back into my body and then I tried lifting my feet over my head to do a backward somersault, thinking that it should work, since it has always been successful in past OBs. Again I felt my consciousness move completely in a circle, and I quickly came full circle and found myself back in the same position lying down. My consciousness faded into the same dream I had before I woke up. After a while I realized I was dreaming again, and I forced myself awake, and I woke up still out of the body. I thought, I am out of my body, and I am controlling this reality entirely. I should be able to get away from this body. I decided that the only way I was going to get anywhere was to close my eyes and walk, relying entirely on my other senses. So I closed my eyes and bent my knees down until my legs were through the bed and my feet were touching the floor. I used my arms and a kind of swaying motion to stand up. I took a few steps toward J.H.'s room. Then I stopped and wondered whether it would be best to walk into the living room, and through J.H.'s bedroom door, or through the physical closet. I decided to walk through the closet and straight into J.H.'s room. So I kept going toward J.H.'s room and I approached J.H.'s bed. Just as I started to look around, I was picked up and forcefully pulled back to my body. The next thing I knew, I was back in my body, and my eyes were closed. I felt as if I was still out of my body, only I felt very stiff and rigid. I forced my eyes open, and as I did that, I became more physical, until my physical eyes opened and I was again completely in my physical body. I turned to look at the clock and it felt great to be able to turn my head. The time was slightly after 10 a.m. I recalled the whole incident in my mind. Then, I got up to type it into the computer. J.H. heard me get up, and came out and asked me if I had an out-of-body experience. J.H. said that he was experimenting with the hypnagogic state when he saw me in his bedroom. Other people have felt my presence too. I am a believer and a skeptic. I must believe in the paranormal, since I've experienced it firsthand. At the same time, I am still skeptical in many ways. Skepticism is healthy because it can keep us from losing touch with reality and going off the deep end. We shouldn't believe everything we hear or read, or every line of trash fed to us by cults. We must always believe in ourselves, but question what makes sense. The difference between a skeptic and a believer is simply this: perspective. When I was a skeptic, I approached everything with a negative attitude. I was a pessimist. Everything was hogwash until it was proven to be real. I thought of psychics and mystics as frauds, liars and charlatans who lived lives of delusion. My psychic experiences, particularly my OBs, changed my attitude from negative to positive. I see people as inherently good. Obstacles are merely lessons to be learned. My outlook on life is positive and optimistic. And it pays to be optimistic. I believe in magic because I have experienced it firsthand. Exercise 16, Quiescing the Mind. In my opinion, the single most important factor in leaving the body is that you focus your consciousness down to a single focused, barely noticeable thread. The best way to explain this is with an analogy. Imagine two parents who have lots of small kids that make lots of noise. At night, the parents send their kids to bed and wait for them to fall asleep before doing adult things. They try to be covert, so they listen for the kids' bedroom noise to quiet down, and when it does, they proceed. The lack of noise implies, but doesn't guarantee, that the kids are asleep. Similarly, I think we all have a higher self or oversoul that waits until our consciousness is completely quiet or quiesced. At that point, it goes on to do otherworldly things. I have found that if I narrow my consciousness down into a single thread, where my mind doesn't wander, and if I can hold my consciousness that way for about 3 minutes, the vibrations will rush in and start the separation process. After a certain point where the vibrations have run their course, I broaden my consciousness back to normal and I allow my normal thinking process to continue. But only after I'm in a fully conscious out-of-body state. It feels like sneaking through a security door with someone, unnoticed. It's not enough to be single-minded. You have to narrow down your consciousness until it's almost unnoticeable to even yourself. It's also not enough to concentrate your mind. Concentration is different from quiescing your mind. So here's an exercise for focusing your consciousness down to a quiesced state. Have you ever seen a flash of lightning, and stopped to listen for the thunder? Or perhaps you heard someone knocking at your door or the telephone ringing from several rooms away? At those times, you tend to stop thinking and listen. And your mind is quiesced for a second or two. Well, pretend that some sound will occur in the future, and just listen for it. For a short time, your consciousness will stop all processing and go into a quiesced state. As you practice, increase the length of time that you listen. Instead of being a thinker, try to be a listener or an observer. Instead of following a train of thought, jump off the train. Don't think, act. Don't concentrate on anything, just pretend you're staring at a blank screen in front of your eyes. Become passive, patiently watching and waiting. At first, you won't be able to suspend your thoughts for long. With practice, you can learn to prolong this passive state. When the vibrations hit, it can be quite shocking, and may break you out of the quiesced state of mind. If you start to think, "Oh my God, what's happening to me? Or what should I do next?" then you've lost the quiesced state temporarily and the vibrations will start to fade away. Luckily, the vibrations take several seconds to fade away, just enough time to recover the quiesced state. Just concentrating on the vibrations getting stronger is not enough. They will only get stronger when you get back to the quiesced state of mind. Learn to hold your quiesced state of mind regardless of what is happening to your body. After the vibrations come, you need only hold the quiesced state for approximately 10 to 15 seconds and then you can just get up and walk away from your body. Chapter 17, What the Books Didn't Tell Me. As I began having more out-of-body experiences, I naturally set about doing my own type of scientific experiments. In my travels, I encountered some peculiar things that weren't mentioned in the many out-of-body experience books I had read. Other peculiarities were only touched on by these books, but not explained to my satisfaction. Here are some of my findings. I getting stuck to the physical body. The first undocumented thing I ran across was the problem of getting stuck to my physical body. In several OBs, I found myself seemingly glued to my physical body, unable to move away from it. A typical instance was my third out-of-body experience, the 12th of September 1979 Sunday, out-of-body experience, number 3, was partly out of my body. My left arm was free. I waved it back and forth and looked at it to make sure it was really happening, and I wasn't dreaming. I tried to move more of my limbs, but they wouldn't budge. I tried to use my free left arm to push the rest of me out, but the rest of me was secure. I couldn't move my physical or astral legs. They were cataleptic. I felt that if I put my left astral arm back in its physical counterpart, I would leave the astral state. But, being almost paralyzed, I had no other choices. I waved my left arm again, and looked at it, to once again make sure I wasn't dreaming. Then I returned it to its physical counterpart. That brought me back to the physical world, and I came to. After some experimentation, I found a few ways to unstick myself and pry away from the physical body. A good example is given below. The 22nd of January 1983, Saturday, out of body experience number 88, my first problem was to get away from the physical body that usually claims some sort of hold on my astral counterpart. This time I had no problem. I turned over so that I was face down, my body was face up. Then I pushed myself up until I was on my hands and knees. My hands, knees, and legs were still in coincidence with the physical body. Then I just withdrew my limbs one by one, and climbed off the bed. I was free from the body. Most out-of-body experience books agree that out-of-body reality is mostly governed by thoughts, fears and expectations. In one out-of-body experience, I used my fear of falling off the bed to counteract my expectation of being stuck, thus freeing myself. Despite my limited success, I still haven't found a satisfactory solution to the problem of getting stuck to my body, but I do have a word of consolation. This happened to me more often when I was first learning how to consciously get out of my body. As time went on, I had fewer experiences of being stuck, too, getting in the body backwards. This has only happened a few times, but it's an interesting experience when it happens. The first time this happened, I was at my parents' lake cabin in northern Minnesota. I was feeling a bit under the weather and I was tired. I went into my bedroom to lie down for a bit. I was lying flat on my back with my head to the west and my feet to the east. I induced the vibrations and floated about 3 feet above the body. My astral body seemed completely paralyzed and I had no control at all. The 21st of September 1980 Sunday, out of body experience number 23, tried to go up, but I couldn't. I wanted to go forward, but couldn't. Finally, I wanted to turn around, and I rotated, so that my astral head was above my physical feet and vice versa. I started going down into my body the wrong way. Try as I may, I couldn't stop it. Finally, I went into my body and blacked out for a second. When I came to again, I was disoriented. I thought I should be facing east like my astral body was, but woke up facing west in my physical body. In one instant, I was in my astral body, looking at the west wall of the room. The next instant, I opened my eyes and saw the east wall. I felt intensely disoriented, which was like a dizziness. But it seemed more physical than mental. In other words, it seemed as if I was still physically feeling the spinning or reorientation my astral body. About 1 minute later, the dizziness went away and I felt normal. Since no harm ever came from these incidents, getting in the wrong way was never a problem. 3. The blackout on exit and re-entry. Many books on the out-of-body experience claim that when a person leaves his or her body, there is usually a split-second blackout. The same blackout happens when the person re-enters the body. What is this blackout, why does it happen, and what can we learn from it? The split-second blackout that usually precedes and follows OBEs is a great concern because it may make the experiences seem more subjective and less objective, less real. Skeptics may say that the blackout suggests a loss of consciousness during which the person might actually start dreaming. They would say that the blackout is some kind of shortcut to the delta brainwave state that accompanies our everyday dreams. Therefore, they would say the out-of-body experience is just a dream, with only subjective reality. Some theories claim that the blackout is necessary. Crickwell believed the blackout is caused because neither the physical nor astral bodies are available as a vehicle of consciousness during the transference of consciousness. Some people believe the blackout happens because only the subconscious self can separate the soul from the body, Therefore, the consciousness of the individual must give up all control to the subconscious during the transference. Others maintain that the blackout occurs because during the actual separation process, the physical brain is unable to interpret the experience. Or, perhaps the brain can interpret the experience, but for some reason or another, the portion of the brain that is responsible for memory is unable to function. Despite the theories, I have experienced OBEs in which there was no lapse of consciousness during the separation process and OBEs in which there was no blackout during re-entry. The first time this happened was on my fifth out-of-body experience, the 1st of January 1980 Tuesday, out-of-body experience number 5, looked at my astral hands. They were gently waving back and forth. I thought my waving must be interfering with my travels. I slowed myself down. It felt like I was drawn closer to the physical body. I felt more physical. Then I dropped into my body and immediately opened my eyes. No blackout. There was no split second of unconsciousness. I was fully conscious the whole time. I gently floated down into the body. I felt myself become more solid. I immediately took charge of the physical body and opened my eyes, wide awake. In my 54th out-of-body experience, I was fully conscious for the entire exit and re-entry. The 31st of October 1981 Saturday, out-of-body experience number 54, I got really comfortable, and started to mind sway myself gently. I was extremely relaxed, and my mode of thought was perfect, passive. I went deeper toward the unconscious state, but I never got there. I felt a strange electrical type of sensation one-third of the way up my spinal column. I also became alert, and at the same time I became restless. I was on my back but, my back was curved around my pillow, and I felt uncomfortable with that position. I turned over so that I was on my stomach, but I felt that my body didn't move with me. Only my astral body turned. I didn't let this bother or excite me, because I knew that the separation process was not finished. I knew I was half in and half out of my body. I also knew what I had to do next, to finish the process. I gently and carefully pushed myself down a little bit, away from my body. About 1 inch of me was out. I instinctively knew that the vibrations would come to me then. Sure enough, the vibrations came filtering down into my head from above. When the vibrations were at their peak, I took that as my cue, and lifted out of my body, twisting at the same time so that I was heading for my bedroom door. I mentally noted how clear my consciousness was again. When I got to the bedroom door, I looked and realized that my astral self was curved around an astral pillow, just like my physical body was curved around its pillow. I reached over with my astral right hand, and tried to pull the pillow away. That is when I noticed that I was dressed in the same clothes as my body, my pajamas. I pulled on the pillow, but it wouldn't come free. Page 73, I got frustrated and turned so that I was facing west. I was going to look at my body to the northwest, but I stopped turning when I looked to the west and saw some lights. I tried to look at the lights and study them, but I noticed that my sight was strange. Everything looked as if it was tilted back 45 degrees. It was as if my astral body was leaning at a 45-degree angle. I wanted to see those lights better, so I tried to upright myself. But no matter how hard I tried, I was still at a 45-degree angle. It was like I was halfway between lying down and standing up. I thought to look at my physical body, but when I thought about my body, I immediately went into it without getting a chance to look at it. I was now semi-physical in my body, and I made a great effort to stay awake. I kept saying to myself, I will stay conscious. Then I thought that if I opened my eyes again it would help me stay awake. So with a great effort, I opened my eyes and everything was blurry. But I was awake. Then it seemed like I was in the cataleptic state. Very, very slowly my sight became more real until I was fully back in my body. I was fully physical again. When I rolled over and looked at the clock, it was 9:35 a.m., so I estimate the projection to have started around 9:30 a.m. Here is another example, the 18th of September 1982 Thursday, out of body experience number 81, then the vibrations swept into me, and I was cataleptic. I tried to move, but I couldn't. I struggled to get away from my body, but I couldn't. I opened my eyes. I could look around, but could not pull away from my body. My astral body was obviously separate from my body, and it felt free. I felt weightless, and yet I couldn't move. After trying to roll out of my body to the right and was unsuccessful, I looked at my bookcase. I looked around some more. Then I went to try to roll out to the left. Then I noticed a blur of red to my left. It was my clock, with a digital red display. I had heard that some people believe that time moves differently while out of body, so I tried to look at my clock. The clock was just barely out of my field of vision. My body was pointing straight up. So I tried to turn my head. After a great deal of effort, I managed to turn my head to the left. It was very hard to turn. But as my head turned, my whole being solidified. I was turning my physical head. With no break in consciousness, I felt my whole being getting bound into my physical body. By the time I finished moving my head, I was no longer astral, but I could see the time, 9:30 a.m. I've had many more fully conscious exits than re-entries, for a simple reason. I usually try to make my OBs last as long as possible, so I don't let the experience end until I black out or lose consciousness. We may never know why the blackout usually occurs. Perhaps science will discover the reason, but not until the out-of-body experience is given serious scientific research. 4. Pain during an out-of-body experience. I have learned some interesting things about pain while I was out of my body. All the out-of-body experience books said that during an out-of-body experience it was impossible to feel pain. They said only the body feels pain. So I was very surprised when I had the following experience. The 26th of April 1980 Saturday, out-of-body experience number 14. I entered my astral body and suddenly felt a pressure at my astral ribcage on both sides, as if someone were poking me there. I couldn't stand the tickle, hurt feeling and, as if I were being tickled, I twisted and put myself back into my body. Once in my body I felt all right. I left the body again and the same thing happened. I tried to ignore the poke pressure, but was overcome with the pain, and had to go back again. I was determined. I tried again. I swayed my astral legs once again. This time I noticed something strange. I didn't use my eyes nor my astral eyes, but I could feel my astral limbs with my mind. I could also see them partially with my mind's eye, just like visualizing a thought. This time I also noticed my astral arms. When I got out, I wiggled my fingers. Again, I felt the tickle pain in my ribcage on both sides. It wasn't as bad this time, and I also did a better job of ignoring it and withstanding the pain. I felt a hand grab my right wrist. It gently tried to help me away from my body, but once again the pain tickle took its toll and I had to return to my body. When I came back to my body for the third time, I suddenly became very dizzy, and had to abandon the attempts. This experience was the only one in which I felt pain in the true sense of the word. As I described, it felt as if someone were poking me in the ribcage very hard. I didn't get around to actually experimenting with out-of-body experience pain until 1983, the 1st of September 1983 Sunday, out-of-body experience number 86, clapped my hands in front of me as hard as I could. It made a sound, just as I had expected. I had hit my hands very hard, and I felt the pain in them for a second, but the pain was a painless pain. I clearly recognized the sensation of pain in my hands, but I swear it didn't hurt. I've experienced this painless pain or mock pain several times. For instance, instead of floating up above my body on one occasion, I decided to float down under my body. The 27th of April 1980. Out-of-body experience number 15. Sometime this morning I found myself conscious out of my body, but very near it. My first instincts were to get away from it. So when I thought about getting away, I drifted down through my bed underneath my body. I could feel the bed as I went through it. What I experienced was the sense of 30 or 40 bed springs piercing through my astral body as I went down beneath my body. The sensation wasn't painful, but I did feel the dull, throbbing sense of mock pain.